Stand by to receive our transmission.
Where are you boys roaming the world?
Alabama, sir!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Welcome to the Bama Geeks Podcast. We are four friends diving into our favorite pop culture topics with a dash of Southern charm.
We have the tools, we have talent. It's Miller time.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Pizza dude's got 30 seconds.
Wait, what? Crazy? You didn't say I was crazy.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
You want something done, you've got to do it yourself.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes!
So grab your biscuits and gravy, a glass of sweet tea, and enjoy the nerdy hospitality of Brock and Jessica Parker, Bo Bearden, and Kevin Gardner.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Hey, we're the Bama Geeks.
Hello, howdy.
How you doing?
Hey.
I'm Brock.
Hello, Internet.
Yeah. Ooh. And, you know, with the Internet's actually up and running right now. There's the jinx. So, but I'm Brock Parker. That's my wife, Jessica. You got Kevin Gardner. You got Bo Bearden. We're here for our 78th episode. We really appreciate you being here for it. We got a good one tonight. We got a fun one because the Amazon Prime team has blessed us with a wonderful show from a franchise many of us love called Fallout. So we're going to chit-chat about that tonight. And let's just go ahead and ask you guys, the video game Fallout, have y'all played it? How long have you been invested in the franchise?
I mean, I'll be the first one to say, the only game of Fallout that I've played is Fallout 4, and I spent a grand total of 1 hour and 37 minutes in the game.
All right, not enough.
So I am a noob. I think the farthest I got was to the first, granted, if you played the game, you probably know this, but it's the first town where the guys with the laser rifles are.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I got in the game.
Okay.
It was enough to really get me interested in it. I just, you know, anytime I play Fallout 4, it's built on the same engine as Elder Scrolls Skyrim. It's the same engine. I just want to go play Skyrim because I'm like, I would rather be a stealth archer than being a, using, guns and stuff in this, now that I've seen the series, I obviously want to play it more now. So I think Bethesda knows that too, because they're adding free updates to the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of being radiated, you'd rather take an arrow to the knee.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%.
Bo, how about you? Where do you stand with Fallout?
For me, I picked up 3 when a lot of people I know started playing it. I played about halfway through 3, and then I don't know what happened. I think around that time I picked it up, I was more into multiplayer gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I eventually played a little bit more, and I never did finish it, and it just sat on the back burner. Well, then 4 came out, then of course the hype, and then picked up 4, and I've played a little bit of 4. But now, like I said, I was big multiplayer gaming, but now I'm gravitating back to single player stuff. So I'm eventually going to go back and work on it, especially now since they're fixing to put out Kev was talking about, they're fixing to put up an update to it. Like, especially if you're a console gamer, they're doing what's called the current gen upgrade. I think they're going to make Fallout 4 be 4K texture and a lot of content update. Which I guess it's so funny. It's been so long since I played it. I may just restart over the beginning so I know where I'm at and what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But like beyond that, I've watched a guy I used to watch stream. He streamed the original 2 Fallout games, the kind of the over the top one. I watched him play them. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, like I said, that's my exposure to it. I watched you when you streamed 76 when you got a chance to stream. I watched you play it.
That.
I'm aware of the stories of Fallout, but like I'm not deeply rooted in the lore, but I'm aware enough to like consuming the show, I can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. But Jess, I know between your husband and your son.
Yeah. My exposure to Fallout is being that of a spectator, watching Brock play, watching my son play. My son, both Brock and my son absolutely love playing this game. In fact, when I went by to see him for just a brief moment after we got home, he's playing Fallout. So that he is also a Skyrim player too. So it just falls right in line with what he likes, how he likes to game and what he plays. So
and wasn't there a point there, Jess, where you were having that you and Brock were fighting over the console because you wanted to play a game and he wanted to play Fallout 76?
Was it?
I forget what game it was you were playing.
It was Animal Crossing, but she had the Switch where she could lay on the couch and play with it. But then she got into Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yep.
There was some, I don't know, were you playing Fallout when I was doing Disney or were there some, but anyway, there has been, I can't remember what Brock was playing, but yes, there has been that issue at one point in the house. So I never thought that would ever happen, but it did.
I almost bought a second Xbox just to stick her in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Here, you go back there.
But I've cooled off gaming, even the limited amount of gaming that I ever do. I've cooled off of it for a while. And of course we know Brock has been busy with a lot of things. It's been consuming his free time. So gaming is kind of cooled off in our house at the moment.
It really has, but hopefully it's about to pick back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you what's funny is I have like a couple more of the games. I have New Vegas. I got it through the Epic game stores for free a while back and I've heard good things about it, but I meant to tell you right now.
So
like, I told a couple other people, I think I told you guys about it. I don't know when this is going to end, but if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can get Fallout 76 for either if you have an Xbox or your PC, you can redeem it and you can get a code to download it. So if you want to check out 76.
It's all the add-ons with 76 that get you. You know, that's the thing with that game.
Yeah.
The cool thing, what I always heard about New Vegas, one of the reasons it's more unique and different is because it was by Obsidian. Obsidian did New Vegas, and Bethesda did the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it just feels different. It's got a different feel to it.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed just listening to the soundtrack of the games. That's one of my favorite things is the music that's tied into the game, is hearing that while they're playing.
And there are a couple of YouTube channels that stream the radio stations from Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I'll have it on in the background a lot listening to it. Yeah, the soundtracks are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. I started out with Fallout 3, went to 4, and then, of course, New Vegas. And I played for a couple of years. When 76 came out, I waited a few months to play it. I had it. I bought the collector's edition that's got the big power armor helmet with a canvas bag to carry it in. And I've got a working Pit Boy that you could put together.
Mm-hmm.
It was a kit from the Wand Company. I've got that. It's got an actual radio in it, so you can actually pick up local stations, or you can hit a different mode and it plays pre-recorded, old Fallout songs.
Does it actually have the screen that actually is like a real screen and it's animated and everything?
It's got the screen itself is not animated, but it glitches. It's so like the light. And you have to hit it, and it'll come back on. But it's got like a rad meter in it, and all.
I know you saw the Wand Company's new version, the one that's based on the TV show, the one that I put a pre-order in for.
Yeah,
that one is going to be full screen.
Mm-hmm.
And with full functionality, that's going to be, I saw that and I saw the video where they were demoing it, how it was going to work. I was like, I think Brock already has one of these. He's probably not going to go for this one, but I'll get it. So, because I don't have a lot of Fallout stuff and, did you get it?
No, not yet, but believe me, the temptation is there. What? And the thing with this Pip-Boy that I've got, it had a place, at the screen. If you didn't buy the screen that glitches and you have to tap it to get the lights to start working again, there was a version prior to it. Or if you don't have that, if you don't have the updated screen, it flips open and you could put, this is like when iPhone 4 and iPhone 5 and stuff were out, you could put in an iPhone of that size and download the app, and it would work. So you had the touch screen.
That's
and everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably even better because that means it's going to last longer at the very least instead of it just being stuck there. And yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And I've got, Loot Crate was doing the Fallout crates. I mean, I've got a Vault Dweller hoodie that looks like the uniform, and I've got a plush dog meat and everything else from Fallout 4 and all. It's, I've got a lot of Fallout stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not played it in a couple of years. I have not played a lot of things in the last couple of years just due to the master's program. But
right. I hope you're ready to play it again. You'll probably start doing it once you watch the series.
I want to know, like, I wonder what Bethesda, like, cause I mean, with all gaming and like platforms mostly online, or they have some, I'm curious to see what kind of uptick the gameplay of Fallout has gone thanks to this show.
They announced yesterday, I was watching a video yesterday, they announced that the replay of Fallout had doubled and then it tripled.
Yeah.
The amount Don't of people doubt that were all. Playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And when we get to into talking at the TV show, I can give you guys some details because I have, you know, like Brock, you said you've got a lot of Fallout stuff. I have mm-hmm. literally consumed everything media wise with this series. I love it so much that like I've gone and watched all the behind the scenes stuff that they've released so far, all the celebrity interviews, mm-hmm. and then talking with Todd Howard, who is the head honcho over at Bethesda. Yeah. Talking about the, you know, mm-hmm. what he had, conversations he had with Jonathan
Nolan.
Thank you. Yeah. I always get half the time I'll say Cohen and it's like, that's a totally different dude. Jonathan Nolan, mm-hmm. his conversations they had, but yeah, anyway, you finish up, Ron.
No, it's, The house here will become another Fallout house once again, once graduation hits, because, you know, like I said, Kevin has watched the entire series. He's on a second watch through, both seen the first episode. Jess and I have hit the first two episodes. Just seeing it has ignited my, I need to re-download 76 and mm-hmm. I would spend hours just grinding and grinding. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the replay value is right now on it. I don't know what all they've added because I've been out of the loop for a couple of years, but the show so far is scratching that itch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it scratches the itch of everything Fallout.
Well, it's,
I mean, I have reinstalled the game for the first time in a while and getting ready to play it.
Well, the beauty of we'll get into it with the show, but like Fallout, the aesthetic is so cool anybody can like it. It appeals to somebody one way or another. Like the biggest thing for me is like that retro futurism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I like about the game.
And me not as somebody who hasn't played, but just watched. I mean, that's always one of the things that I can enjoy watching someone play. It's the aesthetic of it all. Like not just the music, but just the look. Cause I'm very much something in my brain just gravitates towards that type of aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, between Fallout and The Shawshank Redemption, I'm probably the Ink Spots' biggest fan.
Yeah, right.
Love their music; it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But a fun side note: Walton Goggins, who is the ghoul in Fallout, the show, grew up in Lithia Springs, Georgia. However, we love to tie anything Alabama and pop culture together. Walton was birthed right here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
So we claim him.
That's right. We sure do.
We lace
all of your Bama geeks here. We're within the vicinity of Birmingham.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So Walton, I hate to say, I am not familiar with a lot of his work, and I know he has done a ton of things.
Yes.
What I know him from primarily is because Fallout's one of my favorite game franchises, but then again, so is Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. I'm a massive Tomb Raider fan. I mean, I've been playing since 96, since the first one. I'm currently going through the remastered series now. Walton was the bad guy, and his name escapes me because I've only seen it a couple of times, but the live action Tomb Raider movie that had Alicia it starts with a V.
He was the primary villain in that.
When I first saw him in that, I'm like, I kind of like this guy. He's got kind of a southern accent, and that's when I discovered, my goodness, he was born in Alabama. And that's really what I know him from.
And if you hear him talk, he he definitely digs into, you know, Georgia Southern, but you can also kind of pick up on a little Montgomery in his accent when he speaks. It's little you. He gets that little bit of that aristocratic Montgomery in his accent.
Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons I love him is he actually digs into it,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he's known for is being a Southern gentleman slash villain slash whatever he's doing.
I have to quickly detour and we'll jump right back on the Fallout. But this past weekend we were at the Huntsville Comic and Pop Culture Expo, and we met Oscar Nunez, who played Oscar Martinez on The Office.
Yep.
And he recited, and I'll let you do this, Jess, but he recited the line from the murder mystery episode. Yeah. Go ahead, Jess.
You know, when he comes in, you know, because there is the fear of the Dunder Mifflin's going bankrupt, and you know, Michael's taking them off their mind with the murder mystery, and everybody from Savannah, you know, everybody has from the Savannah accent, and you know, Oscar, he's got his mind occupied on what's going on.
Oscar's
with
an accountant.
He's
worried about the money.
He runs in and he's like, trying to talk to him. Michael says, "Yo, what's this Yankee accent? You're from Savannah," and it's like, we don't have the greenbacks. The plantation, we don't have the greenbacks to get them dud and the seeds, and you know, so we
yeah, he's completely, Michael, we're going, we don't have any money.
Yeah.
So he actually we told him how much we loved his Southern performance in that show, and he went off and
did
the whole line for us.
Yeah,
so anyway, back wonderful. To Fallout,
sorry.
Yeah,
back on the road.
So Walton Goggins, my favorite performance of his is probably one that I don't know. Bo, you may have seen it. I don't think it's quite in your wheelhouse, what you guys would like, Brock or Jess, but The Righteous Gemstones.
Yes.
He played Baby Billy Freeman.
Oh,
and he is so freaking good at that part. I mean, he's essentially a can't quite get successful televangelist. And it just shows his range. I mean, honestly, with me, the first time I got introduced to him was as in the series Justified, which was, you know, with this guy, with that guy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Timothy Oliphant. Yeah. Timothy Oliphant. And he was the primary villain. Boyd Crowder was the name of the character. He was a recurring villain, and I was like, this guy's going places. And I mean, his filmography and just his television. This guy, he is in it. Like, he's done, movie-wise, he's done tons of stuff. I mean, Walton Goggins is just about a household name at this point. So when they announced that he was going to be in Fallout, I was like, there's your star hook right there.
Exactly.
That's the big guy.
I was introduced to him, first off, from The Shield. And he had a very, very, very interesting role in Sons of Anarchy. I am not going to spoil that in case anybody ever wants to watch Sons of Anarchy. But if you have watched it, then you know what I'm talking about. And when I say this man is not afraid to push boundaries on the characters that he plays. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. And I have actually, Brock, I have actually watched The Righteous Gemstones. And this was a come home from lunch on the, this was kind of like a lunchtime watch for me, because when I saw that he was going to be part of the cast, and I've got other friends that watch it.
Really?
It really piqued my curiosity. And John,
how much did you watch?
I've watched it all. I've seen it all.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Oh my God. I am surprised and
not
impressed
kidding
at the same
you.
Time.
So
God, I love that show.
I was a little shocked at how much that I actually did enjoy it or stuff. But I mean, John Goodman. I mean, I'm not trying to veer too far off the subject, but the cast.
I mean, it's Danny McBride. It's his writing. I mean, the guy is incredible.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Okay, I know absolutely nothing about The Righteous Gemstones, but Danny McBride, I am aware of. Mm-hmm. So okay, I can see why you would think I'd be hesitant to watch.
Yeah,
I don't think that's. I mean, you could ask Jess, but likely, I don't think it's in your wheelhouse at all. Yeah.
I didn't actually watch it.
Like you said, John Goodman is wonderful in it.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, what is it, Adam McKay? Isn't that his name?
Yeah. No.
Adam, the whole family Adam is Devine, just something, man.
He was Adam Devine. Is it
Devine? Yeah. I think Devine's right. Yeah.
But that's, yeah, I mean, and seeing him in Fallout, I mean, this is just perfect for him. This role that he's playing. So
he literally just plays himself, and well, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna get too crazy. It basically just plays Walton Goggins, and it just happens to be like just, doesn't have a nose.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
It's just a big hole right here.
He did. I'm gonna wait till we get into the actual talking about the thing, because like I said, I've consumed like everything, so I kind of I know the makeup process and everything, but yeah.
And for those worried that we're gonna spoil it, I don't intend to, and I don't think any of us really intend to. Yeah. So I think it'll be safe to listen to the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll be good,
I promise.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk about the aesthetic and how it relates to the video games, because that's what I'm most familiar with. As far as that goes, good night. This show is the video game come to life. Mm-hmm. I have never seen an adaptation of a video game come to life like this. Yep. They have nailed every visual aspect of the game series, from the vaults to getting out into the wasteland, and it's gorgeous. And what's funny is, as far as the enemies, and of course Jess and I have only seen the first two episodes, so we don't know what's coming after, but one of the most reoccurring enemies in the game are rad roaches, you know. And so Jess hates roaches.
Yeah.
I don't think she was ready for the first one when it showed up, and they went, she's like, oh no. She's on the couch. I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. This is one of the most common characters, enemies in the game, is the rad roach. Get ready for roaches. So I don't know what lies ahead, but I can verify she did not like the roach.
No, I did not.
Well.
Oh, look at you laughing. Look at you laughing over there. Yeah.
We need a reaction video or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She'll be picking her feet up and putting on the couch. No.
I mean, no spoilers. I can't. Yeah. But yeah. We're going to need a reaction video.
All right.
Sure. Oh, no. Oh, no.
But I agree with you, Brock. Overall, one of the things that Todd Howard said when he was speaking with Jonathan Nolan was, you know, they kind of intended this to be just another chapter in the Fallout series.
Yeah.
It's not like they're just telling the story like, you know, oh, look, this is Mario Brothers and this is the story. No, this is like another chapter. This is like, it's almost like Fallout 5. But it's not Fallout 5. It's its own thing. It's its own telling, because there, you know, this is not a spoiler in that, you know, there are multiple vaults.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's in the game that way. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be coming from Vault 33.
Yes.
This one comes from Vault 74 or whatever the numbering is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have multiple adventures, and I mean, they're already talking about, you know, yeah, they're supposed to be working on Elder Scrolls, the next Elder Scrolls game at Bethesda, but, you know, they're already talking about doing Fallout 5 now. And one of the things that Todd Howard said was, you know, he spoke with Jonathan Nolan about, you know, what he could do. And he said there were a handful of things where he was like, don't do this because we're going to do this in Fallout 5. Mm-hmm. So, but other than that, he really didn't like chain him up or anything. They just let him go with it. Because when they first started talking years ago, him and Jonathan Nolan hit it off immediately. Todd Howard and Jonathan Nolan, when they were talking, they were like, Jonathan pitched him on what he wanted to do. And Todd was like, yes, you're like literally the first person I've talked to that gets it. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it started. And that's one of the reasons that you're going to find that it is so, so good that it just keeps getting better and better, because the way they tell this, it doesn't really rob anything from any of the existing games.
Yeah.
It's all genuine. It all feels genuine. Everything in the series feels genuine. All the characters are cast just perfect.
It's just like you said, it not being tied to one game, it takes place in the world of the video game, not really a certain one.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it doesn't have its own rules to follow. Mm-hmm. It's
This one, the without going into spoiler territory, which I will not do, but this one goes and covers some topics about the Fallout universe from before that we've never broached before. It really adds I can't even calculate just the amount of weight it adds to the story and legitimacy to the story. So by the time you get to the last episode and you're in the, you know, in the finale, which, you know, the last episode is titled War. So you get to the last episode, you're already get loaded with all this very, very well crafted story. This really interwoven, all the characters, even the slower moments have story building. So you get all this stuff interwoven, and then you get to the last episode where they're hitting you with everything. And it's a complete, like, if they were to stop, okay, cool, we've got a great, you know, a great mini series or whatever, but there's no way, you know, they've already greenlit season two. They're 100% going to do another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
well, I've seen a lot of.
I really wish I could talk about it, but.
Well, I've kind of seen a lot of the reaction of just the friends that I know that they're not spoiling it, but they've also reached the end and they're just like, I need this next season. I need it like right now. So
it would work to binge it. Like, please send me to the future 4 years in the future and let me binge the first three seasons, please. Yeah. I don't want to watch this one now. Because now we're going to have to, it's kind of like the old days, you got to wait now. We got to wait, just like we're waiting on Stranger Things, right? You know, we're waiting on all the last season of Stranger Things, right? and now we've got to wait on this, and it is up there with Stranger Things, if not to an extent better.
See, and that's what I love to hear, because so many things that are adapted from video games just fail. Yep. They don't capture it story-wise or whatever, but... Yeah, so far so good with Fallout as far as our viewing has gone.
What you say with that statement, because like Netflix has supposed to been working for like years on an adaptation of BioShock. That's a game I've always wanted to see. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping maybe Netflix will finally just like let Prime Studios get a hold of it.
Mm. So you guys have heard, you know, you've seen the reviews coming in. Yeah. I'm sure you probably haven't read the critical reviews.
Right.
It's incredibly high critic praise for this. Very well warranted. It seems to be matching on both user and a viewer and critic. Right, everyone loves this thing. Then we have Borderlands. Have you guys seen the trailer for the Borderlands movie?
Yes,
I've played the Borderlands games. Yeah,
but have you seen? I mean, Borderlands is zanier and crazier than Fallout, and Fallout's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
you know.
Borderlands' biggest problem is it's trying to be Guardians.
Yeah.
You know what? I said that exact same thing to Jess when we first saw that that trailer in the theater a couple of weeks ago. I was like, that with the music they were using for it and everything else, I'm like,
yeah.
I like Borderlands. I've played the first game. I've not gotten to the second one yet. It's one of those that, honestly, I think Borderlands is one of those games that Fallout 76 just kind of knocked off my radar, because that was during the time I was really playing 76 and had just gotten into Borderlands. But yeah, by the looks of it, I can see the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Type
thing. I mean, whoever the publisher was is probably regretting making that into a movie at this point, because if they could have got a good director, they probably could have done a series of that.
I about to say, video game, really, honestly, that's the other thing. Maybe quit trying to make movie adaptations of games, and I think series, because a video game, you don't consume the whole entire game in one sitting. I mean, I think a series is a much better way to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. You know, series are more profitable, too. Yeah. I mean, they've proven that. I mean, Netflix has proven it. Disney Plus has proven it. And it works. I mean, especially for Fallout. We were talking about the Fallout series. The amount of ground they cover with this series, and the amount of things that they introduce, you know, you guys, I mean, granted, I can't spoil it, but I mean, there are things in the games like, you know, earlier, Brock, you were talking about the radio stations.
Yeah.
There's something akin to that in the series. That's a very teeny tiny light spoiler with But it's not any, you're going to be surprised by it anyway, but they hit on everything. Like just about anything. Even if you'd been like me that I've only played a couple of hours of the game, I know enough about it to know. Mm-hmm. I even recommended this to my girlfriend who has never played Fallout and doesn't know anything about it. You don't have to know anything about it. They intro it enough that you're like, these people, they're for some reason, you know, they start the series off by introducing you why we have Fallout shelters,
mm-hmm.
what's happening. Very clearly, this is a alternate universe, like a Loki alternate universe or something. If it was in, you know, the Marvel universe, where it's like, you know, that technology is good in some portions and it's backwards in others. I am blown away. I'm absolutely blown away by this.
I can tell.
Yeah, it's like we said earlier, I'm on my second watch through. I'm on the second episode of watching it again because I'm watching it now. And now that I know all the plot points, I know the story points, I know, you know, who the bad guys are, what's happening. I can watch it now and go, I didn't pick up on that earlier. Yeah. So it actually has replay value. Mm-hmm. It's not that you just watch this one time. You can watch it again and you start picking up on things that you didn't pick up before. So the show's got layers to it. And you don't expect a video game adaptation to have layers like that. And it does. So, you know, bravo, Jonathan Nolan, man. Bravo. He did a phenomenal job on this.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it is legit the best video game adaptation so far ever. It's beautiful.
Like for me, like I said, I watched, like so we I did the first episode and I liked it, and like I know we were talking about how we're excited with Walton, but there's two people in this series I've seen. One of them, of course, is Kyle MacLachlan, Agent Dale Cooper, right out the gate. Yeah. So I can't wait to see more of him. And then I know they hint at him in the upcoming, like I saw there towards the end, but Michael Emerson, he's another character. He's always a guy. Yeah. He's a guy in the show I always like. I loved him in Lost. He's always, or he's good at play, or he's always that scientifically weaselly character.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. And I hope you guys like the T-60 power armor because you're gonna see a lot of it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The Brotherhood of Steel, like that to me is like one of the outside of, you know, the Fallout the boy or whatever, Vault-Tec boy. To me, the power armor and the Brotherhood of Steel are like the iconic image, or whatever you would say, of Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and. And speaking of actors, Michael Rapaport is in this, and he's part of the Brotherhood of Steel, and that's as far as I'm going as far as his character whatsoever. But I loved when I kept hearing his voice in the armor, and I'm like, I know that voice because there was a show on Fox a couple decades ago called Boston Public.
Mm-hmm.
That he was part of, which has still never been released to DVD streaming or anything. I've not seen that show since the first run. And
I love that show too.
That show deserves to be out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was one of the teachers on Boston Public, and I've got an autographed photo of him as the teacher he played, and loved him and really had not seen him in a whole lot, but his voice is so recognizable.
Right.
And then there was okay.
There are quite a few cameos in this. You're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say anything because I'd spoil it, but there are quite a few cameos. You're going to be like, whoa, okay. That's all right. That's okay. That happened. That's nice. I can't wait for us to be able to do another episode where we can talk about this, give it a little bit of time for everybody to watch it. And then we can talk about like the spoiler stuff in this because, dude, this is better than the games.
Well,
it really is. It goes further into the story than the games do.
Yep. Well, I know I'll have it consumed by the next time we record.
Sure. Definitely. And, you know, maybe we can turn this into a bonus episode. We all get a chance to sit down again at some point during the next couple of weeks. And I'll just go ahead and say now, if you're enjoying us talking about it, maybe want to see a bonus episode, then we absolutely implore you to subscribe to us on YouTube. We're there at Bama Geeks on YouTube. So if you enjoy the content that we're putting out and maybe want to see some bonus stuff,
mm-hmm.
subscribe. Maybe we'll do it.
Yeah.
So But yeah, for me, just first episode, I mean, when they're showing the inside of the vault and showing the doors opening and everything, and I'm just like, yeah, I've got to sit there and wait for those doors quite a bit when you're trying to go through the vaults and everything in the game. I love watching the big doors just pull back and roll over, because that's, oh my gosh. I can't speak to, like, you know, because we're trying not to spoil it. So the aesthetics have just won me over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the differences between the different vaults.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, it's safe to assume that you're going to see multiple vaults, right? So it's the difference between the vaults and the things that go on in the different vaults.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting setup that they've got. And that's just, it's another example of them going into that in the show and not the game. The show's expands so much on everything the game's ever touched, really.
Well, like,
No, go ahead, Bo.
I say when you're your game, you're just that one single character. You know, you're doing that one experience, where this, you know, you've got multiple characters that they're, you know, going on to them. You get to see this side of it from this character, this side from that character, rather than just your encounter of it.
Well, the question I have for you, Kevin, is, and I'm not saying where these show up, but I have seen some TikTok videos where some phone numbers are shown on the screen at certain points during the show. Have you called any of them yet, or called at least one of them?
Yeah. I thought about it.
There's one that shows up in a black and white setting, and that's what I'll leave it as. I saw a TikTok video. This girl paused after seeing the phone number and dialed it. And I'm going to urge people to call the phone numbers that you see on the screens.
Well, it's not, I was going to say, it keeps popping up. I keep seeing an image pop up in social media feeds. So, yeah, I'm going to wait till we get to that point. I'm going to wait.
Call the phone number.
I'll call
it this time. I haven't called them yet. I was just trying to get through. Well, the thing was, that's actually incorrect. I was about to say, I was just trying to get through them. Basically, the way I consumed this so quickly was, I would go to lunch at work, which with me, I mean, granted, this is going to be a flex, but I mean, with lunch for me, it's just going into the living room. I work from home. So with me, it's just like, I just go in the living room and I'll like fix my lunch, and then I'll watch an episode.
Yeah.
And then watch a couple of episodes after work or whatever. And then and that's how I consumed it. I did not want to stop. I was like, can I just like call into work and just sit down and watch the rest of this? It is that good where you're just like, I just don't want to stop watching this, because they throw something new. Every episode is something new, something. Man. I know Borderlands movie is like this, because it's good.
And I really hate that we haven't, we've only been able to really get in one episode, because we are tending to watch this later in the evening. So we're getting slow. It's like, okay, we got to stop, because I don't want to start something and then risk. Cause you know, I'm a wild card after 9 o'clock. I might fall asleep. So
I can attest to this. Sometimes it's 8:30, but usually it's 9 when I start hear a little snoring on the couch.
Starts getting into some, you know, tricky territory after 9 o'clock. Will I fall asleep yet? Well, I won't. So but Brock and I have been known to watch TV shows pretty much start and watch a whole thing all the way through.
Cobra Kai, forget it. It's going to start on a Saturday morning. We are finishing it on that Saturday.
Yeah. And, We practically did Wednesday the same way too. So once we started it, but time is not something we've had a lot of recently, or a lot of free time amongst other things. So
after May though,
I'm eager to just keep moving on and moving through.
Yeah. It's definitely a show that I'm like, oh, golly, we've got to go to bed and go to work tomorrow. We've got to go do this. It's like, I really want to keep pressing. And there was, what was it, Cobra Kai, the last season of Cobra Kai, where we got to like 2 a.m. and we're like, work's going to stink tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, now we got season 6 coming out not too soon, and that'll be the last season.
It's the last one, yeah.
Yeah.
I should watch Cobra Kai.
I didn't want to say something on Walton Goggins' character that's not spoilery whatsoever, but you know, he plays the ghoul, right? And anybody that knows anything about the game is, you know, there is the ghoul and there are ghouls. Right?
Yeah.
You know, so ghouls are kind of a, they're a class in the game, right? You know, he actually, you know, when you look at him close enough, he's wearing a mask. He's wearing a full mask with prosthetics and whatnot. He said that the first time they put that on, it took about 5 hours to put on. They got it down to about 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Once they got everything figured out and all the ins and outs, and he was able to sit still on the right parts, they actually got it down to an hour and 45 minutes total.
Oh, wow.
And he actually, it's funny because, you know, the nose piece, which is the part that I was the most interested in, you would think that maybe he wears green, like a green.
Yeah, that's what I was wearing. Green screen.
But they don't do that. He uses special effects dots on his nose, so it's his actual nose. So if the actors are acting against him, they're not looking at him with a missing nose. It's his nose. It just has like white dots or whatever on it.
That's cool.
And then they use post production and they remove it, the white dots.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys have seen him yet, but he's very convincing. It's almost unnerving at times looking at him because it's so accurate. And it bothers you because there's something missing on his face.
All right.
Yeah.
Right? It's his nose. And you're like, when he moves, the shadowing and the depth, it matches. And it almost always stays just like pitch black, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But I guess that was to probably to simplify post-production. But it looks dead on. Mm-hmm. It's creepy, which is that's what they want to get.
Of course.
You know, they want you to feel creeped out by him because the dude's missing his nose and he's a ghoul.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, made me think of stuff like that. Also, one thing, if you are squeamish to blood, you might want to be prepared for this because, like, once some of the iconic Fallout type shots on things, the effects crew is very good. Like,
right.
They seem like they use a lot of practical effects in that.
Yes. Yeah, it's not like crazy bad, but it's
it's not a gore fest, but it's just like, well, from what I've seen, it doesn't seem like it's a gore fest. But
yeah,
like,
I know what you're talking about.
Like,
I know what you're talking about in that first episode. Yeah.
Well, there's some moments in there where you're going to be kind of like, oh, that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
But
like where Walton's character is reintroduced into the world, that whole, you know,
that sequence, scene is great.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they captured the fact that, you know, this is, you know, hundreds of years into the future, and that the people there, they didn't go to school.
No.
They're just survivors. Everybody's a survivor in the future, right? Mm-hmm. So the general intelligence level and the education matches with a lot of the people that you encounter. And it leads from some really interesting characters, like, you know, cannibals.
Oh, yeah.
Like you would expect, which are in the game, right? You know, cannibals, a lot of things like that you run into. And you just don't, the whole deal is, you know, it's Fallout. You're an above grounder, right? And you're normal. You never quite know what you're going to run into. You can walk, you know, walk into a whole bunch of T-60s and then right after that walk into a whole group of cannibals and then some ghouls.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this seriously, mentally unpacking this series, it covers so much stuff in 8 episodes. The amount of stuff that they cover in this, and granted, each of the episodes is like an hour long-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They cover so much. I can't wait for you guys to watch this so we can talk about it. There's so much they cover in this, and it's like, I feel like I'm a Fallout expert now.
That's awesome. Yeah, we certainly can't wait, and over the next few days, we'll definitely finish that up, for sure.
Yep.
So, is there anything else we want to talk about as far as Fallout?
Yes.
Okay.
There's tons of things I want to talk about, Block, and I can't.
Next time.
we definitely can't wait to talk about more of it either. We can't wait to see it. So give us a few days and we'll definitely do that. Maybe we can do something bonus wise. We'll see.
You know, I'm just realizing that stuff like this is kind of sort of in my wheelhouse because I was so consumed in the world of, you know, The Walking Dead for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's these, you know, series that are, you know, the world has come to an end and this is how we're pushing through and surviving the aftermath of something, and to see, Because, you know, there was even things about mm-hmm. The Walking Dead, you know, the aesthetic to it and the stories of how, like I said, civilization is trying to continue after such a catastrophic event. So here I go again. I'm getting roped into a series that is so it's like, what does this say about me?
it's like pulling on a well-worn shoe.
I guess,
yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, here we go. All right. I feel comfortable with this.
Oh, well, good deal. Again, one more time. Anything else for Fallout until we can really approach it?
Yeah, I think we're...
All right. Well, of course, here on Bama Geeks, we do our Southern words and phrases and dad jokes. So we'll go ahead and we'll head towards the end of the episode, and we will let Little Miss there.
Yes, I'm getting that pulled up, my little note that I make. This kind of doesn't really fit in well with the Fallout discussion, but nonetheless, so.
Would Walton Goggins say it?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure he would. Okay, yeah. There we go. Okay.
We're good. It fits.
Okay. That's how we'll look at this then. So I have selected the phrase gussied up.
Ah. Oh, yeah. Good choice. Good choice.
So when you are gussied up, what does this mean? Well, this means that you are dressing up and looking nicer than your everyday look. Whether you're going to church, a wedding, or some other special event, you'll wear your best for the occasion. Gussied up.
I have not heard that phrase in a long time.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
Hey, never mind. No, I won't say anything else because it could. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
I mean, somebody got gussied up in the first episode of Fallout. Oh, yes. You could
whoa,
done that.
That's what I'm like. I didn't. That's all I'm saying.
You're not wrong.
So.
Normally Kevin is our dad joke king.
Mm-hmm. But Bo came and dropped the fire like at the beginning. He was like, hey, I've got a dad joke for you, Kevin. And I'm like, well, you just delivered it, so you're going to do the dad joke tonight.
Well, I graciously appreciate that because normally I don't bring anything extra, but hey.
please.
I heard this one and I was like, yeah, this is one I think is very fitting of the dad joke. So, all right. Like I said, once again, it's not Fallout themed, but hey. All right. Well, apparently it took them 16 years to build Big Ben. Imagine how long it would have took if they hadn't been working around the clock.
A dad joke from the dad on this episode.
Love it. That was awesome.
I heard that.
Wait, that was the wrong one.
Oh.
Wait,
there we go.
Messed up. I recorded this.
You missed it. You missed it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Hey, I enjoyed the Price is Right one too. So
I know you.
Yeah. It's all good.
Awesome. Oh, me. Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed listening to us. Talk about Fallout, and if you haven't watched it yet, hopefully you will. We're definitely going to jump back on it and all. But if you have seen it and want to talk to us about it, all you got to do is hit us up on our social media channels. We're at Bama Geeks on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And I really want to say very quickly, if you see our YouTube channel and realize that our subscriber count has exploded. We want to thank you very much if you are a new subscriber to our YouTube channel. We hit an algorithm in some different parts of the world thanks to AEW and Sting, and then our travel blog to New York.
All them algorithms.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, algorithms.
Thank you, algorithms. But most importantly, thank you for subscribing if you have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're new here, I really hope that we can entertain you. We put out a new episode every couple of weeks. Now that we've got a large, decent subscriber count, larger than we're used to, I'll put it that way. Hopefully we can start churning out a little bit more content for you. I've been going through a master's degree for the last couple of years, and so my free time thankfully is on the way, and we can all get together hopefully and do some more stuff for you. But if you're new here, thank you. Mm-hmm. A lot of
Welcome.
You are.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoy it, and hope you enjoy learning about, you know, pop culture and Alabama and whatever else we can do to entertain you. Yes. But we thank you. If you want to chit chat with us directly in a private Facebook group, we've got that as well. We've got the Bama Geeks Front Porch. That's where we hang out and post just some fun stuff that, you know, maybe you want to hear us talk about on the show, or just want a good laugh. Mm-hmm. Bo recently posted up one of my favorite movies. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is going to be showing on the big screen. I've not seen that on the big screen since 1988. So may have to go over, travel a little bit to a theater to go see it. But
yeah,
but you know, things like that, just geeky fun stuff that we love to do. Yeah. And since we have some newfound subscribers, pretty soon we're going to be launching channel memberships, where you can get some extra bonus content. We do a Patreon episode prior to this every time we record. So patreon.com/BamaGeeks, $5 a month. That's all we charge. And if you want to support us that way, we've got that. You'll get some extra bonus audio and video content every time we release a new episode. And coming soon, channel memberships on our YouTube channel. You'll be able to get the same thing. So it's not one or the other. Or you don't have to subscribe to both to get it. We'll make sure that everybody gets the same bonus content, and we'll make sure that we give you even more at some point in the near future. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate your support.
Yeah, I got a lot of things that we're toying around with, talking to, a lot of things working out for this next year, going into our third year of this podcast. So lots of good things ahead.
Yeah, and we got some guests that are going to be coming on with us. Mm-hmm. Here in the next few weeks, and we hope you enjoy those. So anything else before we say adios?
Nope.
Watch Fallout.
Definitely. Watch Fallout. We definitely will. So for Bo Beardit and Kevin Gardner and my wife Jessica, I'm Brock Parker. We're the Bama Geeks. We'll see you next time.
Bye.